Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we welcome you to the Living by Design show. We are so excited to come to you this evening. We welcome all of our listeners in the chat room. The chat room is starting to fill up, and everyone that's going to be dialing in listening, and as well as everyone that will be listening to our archives. I have said this on previous shows, and I'd like to say it again, that Tony and I are just truly, truly humbled, and we're so excited about you guys, and we've been given a gift with this show, and it is our passion to share our gift with the world, and we just want to be able to reach the hearts and souls of many of you through our messages and our experiences, and this is just our job now, and when we know that we have reached you and helped you guys, we know that we have been successful in our work. Isn't that right, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. I think the way that you're supposed to look at life, and I know this is the way I look at it, is it's not a gift until you give it. And
when you receive it,
it's great, but it's not a gift until you give it. And I think that we've been blessed with the opportunity to give our experiences and our networking opportunities and bringing on people that can also give gifts, and that's what it's all about.
True, because this show is about you, our listeners. All the messages and experiences that we can bring, this is for you. It's not about Tony and it's not about myself. It's about your healing, your life improvements, and your enjoyment. So please sit back and enjoy. And also, I encourage you, if you have any comments or questions or requests for us, always please feel free to write us and let us know. And you can communicate with us via our website. And my email is Kathy, with a C, at cholloweyhill.com. And our call-in number this evening for questions or comments is 646-478-3060. Okay, so I am really, really excited and pumped about tonight's show. Our topic tonight is about domestic violence and reclaiming your freedom. And our guest tonight, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just so excited about her because she's going to be coming to us all the way from Australia, and I am just so excited about that. But before I get to our guest for the evening, I want to talk a little bit about something that I mentioned last week about a PSA video that I did on YouTube for one of the shows here on Blog Talk Radio entitled Peas in Their Pods. And this show focuses on the alarming epidemic of missing and exploited African-American children in our country. And the PSA video that I did is done. I promised that I would let you know when it was completed, and it has been completed. And you can visit my website because there is a link to my site, or you can visit www.savingourchildren.bravehost.com. if you would like to view that video. And I ask everyone to please take a look at that video because it is giving a plea, and we're asking you all to lend your help or lend your ear or your heart, whatever involvement that you can lend to get involved with that organization, your time, everything is appreciated because we really need to try to bring awareness to that situation. It is an alarming epidemic, and it needs our attention. It's everyone's job to help save our children. So please do that. We have a very compelling topic this evening with Miss Melanie Tanya Evans, and she, as I mentioned earlier, is coming to us all the way from across the world in Australia. Isn't that exciting, Tony? God, I am just so excited about that.
It's great that we've got that kind of participation, and I know that we've had some listeners on the internet in Africa that have been listening into the show. So to have an expert and someone to come in and teach us and reach us from around on the other side of the earth is absolutely fantastic. And I just appreciate her when we get a chance to talk to her for getting up so early, because 14 hours difference is a big difference.
That is so true. Yeah, because in Australia right now, it is actually 8 a.m. Thursday morning, because they're 14 hours ahead of us. So I think that is just so remarkable of her to be able to do this and join us this evening. But before we get to her, because I'm very excited about bringing her on here, I just want to give you a few previews of some upcoming show topics. Next week, we're going to be talking to Dr. Debbie Glazer about the topic on blended families and step families and how to manage those situations. And I'm very excited about that, because that is a very important topic. And the following week, you know, Tony, I have got to say this, because I received so many email notes from some very wonderful people, friends of mine, that wanted to ask me, is Howard Hewitt actually going to be on your show? Because we've been playing that promo for a while, and I don't think they really understood that Howard is actually going to be here in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about that, and I'm happy that we're able to do that for you, our listeners. This show that we're going to be doing in 2 weeks, it's on July the 30th, it is for you, our listeners. Howard will be our featured guest, and he will be here to talk to you, the callers, and he will answer questions or sing or whatever you want him to do, okay? So at this point, we're going to take a quick station break here just to give you a little sample of what you're going to be getting when Mr. Howard Hewitt comes on our show.
Coming up on the Living by Design show, a special tribute to you, our loyal listener, an evening, an intimate evening, with R&B legend, Mr. Howard Hewitt.
I remember the first time I danced with you, babe. It was a slow, the lights were so low. Girl, I want to sit you down and let you know just how I feel. It's been a long time since I felt so strong. It must too long since love's been here.
It's time to say goodbye. Now we'll have our second time around, but before.
Okay, so that's Mr. Hewitt, and he will be here soon, so look for that. I'm very excited about it, and I hope you guys are going to be excited about it, too. So we're going to ask you all to get your questions ready, because he's going to be coming on July the 30th. Well, the time has finally come that we're going to bring on our guest for the evening, Miss Melanie Tanya Evans. Now, Melanie, through her own experiences and training, she has written two very successful books entitled Breaking the Chains of Painful Love and Take Back Your Power. Melanie is an author and a relationship and life empowerment coach, and I am so excited that she's going to be joining us this evening, coming all the way from Australia. And I am going to bring Melanie on the line. And Miss Melanie, are you there?
Here I am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I absolutely can, and I can hear that wonderful accent.
Lovely. It's a pleasure to be here. And hello to Tony as well.
Hi there, Melanie. Glad to hear your voice.
Melanie, we are so excited to have you with us this evening, and I'm going to ask you to just go ahead and start out and give our listeners a little bit of your background and some of the things you've worked on and your experience.
Certainly, Kathy. Kathy, I was involved in a very highly abusive relationship, which ended about 3.5 years ago, and before then I was working as a holistic healer. Most definitely a meditation and empowerment teacher, and extremely interesting in that relationships had always been a challenge in my life. A lot of other things worked and I could get them to work, but it had definitely been an Achilles heel situation with me. And I ended up within a relationship which was extremely interesting, because as a healer I'd always couldn't understand how women would stay put in a relationship that was obviously abusive. And I'd always prided myself on being a strong, empowered woman who could walk away from abuse. But I found myself within a relationship that was completely beyond the realms of anything I'd ever experienced and, quite frankly, anything that I'd ever understood. And due to my own demise, and it literally was, it became a life and death situation. I ended up with crippling agoraphobia, post-traumatic stress disorder, total reoccurring nightmares, which were horrific, and cripplingly underweight, and virtually life and death suicidal, and had to, first of all, escape the relationship, stay away from the relationship, and rebuild myself.
Right.
And the interesting thing, yeah, is that since then, the gift of that has been phenomenal. It absolutely brought to light areas of my life and within myself that I thought I had under control, and I thought I knew boundaries and deservedness, and it totally highlighted to me how much unfinished business I had.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
also,
right.
too, yeah, an incredible understanding of how common this is and how many women are actually trapped and caught or trying to recover or agoraphobic and crippled 10, 20 years down the track. And look, it really totally is my theory that every woman has ever experienced, every woman that I know, that I've ever heard of, has either experienced this or knows a woman who has experienced this.
I totally agree, Melanie. And the reason I'm so excited about having you join us on our show this evening is because I want our listeners to understand that this is a universal problem. You're coming to us all the way from Australia, and you have experienced these issues, and it's all over the world. It's a universal global issue, and I am just really excited about the fact that you can let us know that we're not alone over here going through some of the things we go through.
Definitely, Kathy. And look, statistically, the thing is, it doesn't matter what community or nation you're in, it's either 10 to 80% of women statistically report IPV, which is intimate partner violence.
Mm.
So it is a massive global issue, and I thoroughly believe that it's increasing.
Well, I'd like to ask you, because I know Tony has had quite a bit of experience in this area as well, because he's done a lot of motivational topics and some training even, and he has conducted training and received training in this area. So I'm going to ask you both to kind of talk a little bit about some of the forms of domestic abuse, because I know a lot of times when you say domestic abuse, people think physical only.
Correct.
But there are so many different forms, emotional and sexual and verbal and controlling behaviors and so many different forms. So can you talk a little bit about that, either one of you?
Well, go ahead, Melanie, because I enjoy listening to what you have to say, and then I'll just put my input in, because I've done some workshops and done some television specials and things like that, and talked to some experts here in Indianapolis and done some stuff regionally, but I would definitely love to hear what you have to say.
Fantastic. Yeah, look, Tony and Kathy, this is a major area, because really there's very little education, and quite frankly, when I was involved in it, I really had very, very little knowledge of what isn't abusive. So, yeah, look, the obvious things are being hit, but there are so many women that don't realise things like, well, if we were to look under the category of physical abuse, things like shoving, bullying, threatening, things like being detained or cornered or locked outside a house. Also, it can get down to having your possessions taken or hidden, breaking possessions, throwing things, being kept awake late at night, any forceful aspect into a stressful situation. And there can be things, really, the aspect of the physical stuff is a male is obviously a lot stronger than what a female is. So anything that feels violating, and when you're violated and you don't have control over a physical aspect, it's incredibly abusive. It can get down to things like a lot of women in IPV, they can have things like their car keys are taken so that they can't drive their car, or their purses are taken so that they can't leave the house. But so physically comes under a massive gamut. But sexual abuse too is not just about rape or, you know, a forced, unconsented sexual act. It's also using guilt or manipulation or threats to gain sex from a partner. Name calling is massive, and that's very, very universal, that in abusive situations, derogatory name calling is incredibly painful and incredibly abusive and violating.
Sorry, Melanie. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, I'm just kind of excited about this topic because you said name calling, which kind of brought something, you know, to my mind, because I know situations that people have been in. I mean, even myself with people in my life, loved ones in my life, that, you know, I was put down, name calling, mind games, manipulation, just kind of, you know, wanting to control me and have me to behave the way they wanted me to behave and just not allow me the freedom or the respect to have an opinion.
That's right. And the insidious part of abuse too can be if a partner, and I mean obviously this is our topic, it can happen with any person in your life, but with a partner, if they're actually telling you what you're thinking and feeling and you're not allowed to have your own thoughts or your own feelings.
Yes, I experienced that quite a bit in my life. I have had loved ones that have, you know, try to tell me what I'm thinking or what I want to do, and I know what I want to do. I know what I'm thinking, but they tell me I'm wrong or it's stupid or it's, you know, some derogatory name or feeling that just really kind of tears down my self-esteem, and that falls under the category of abuse.
Oh, look, absolutely. Pathological jealousy is a major part of sexual abuse as well, with interrogation into... where have you been, who are you seeing, and assumptions rather than actually, because obviously, you know, jealousy and insecurity can be a part of any relationship, but if it's not something that can be reassured, and this happens a lot in IPV, is that a partner will not be reassured, and they will not stop interrogating, and they won't stop assuming, and that's mentally and emotionally crippling people.
Right.
You know, Melanie, I wanted to say something on the line of the intimidation and the taking control, because one of the things that happens, you can be a person who's in business or a person who's very self-confident in every other situation, but your partner, that guy, will find a way to push those buttons to start bringing you down and tearing you down, and then you look up and you realize after a certain period of time, my self-esteem is gone. I don't feel the same way I did, or when I'm with that person or around that person, I'm just not who I am when I'm outside the situation, and you look up and you're not doing any of the things that you did before because they've taken control. Speak a little bit about that, because a lot of times it's a very subtle change, and you look up and you wake up one day and you've lost control of yourself and you don't have the freedom. It may start off as a simple word of disagreement or disgust, and you're just trying your best to do whatever. And also the embarrassment, because I've run into a lot of situations where I've talked to women who have said, well, I was so embarrassed. I couldn't speak to anyone because I couldn't believe that I was in this kind of situation. I looked up and here I am, and somebody's telling me what I can or can't do and where I can or can't go and how I should or shouldn't act. And I'm embarrassed about that. There's no way I should be that way. But that's where I am, and that's how I live now.
Tony, you're spot on. It's very, very insidious, and it's very, very gradual. And there's a phenomenon that occurs, which is called gaslighting. And gaslighting throws you off all of the senses of trusting yourself and trusting your environment. And there's many, many ways that gaslighting happens and it works, and it's very, very worth researching for people that don't understand what gaslighting is. But how it works is that, for example, you may be in an environment and having a conversation with a group of people, and then that abusive partner after that conversation will say, did you see that way that person looked at you? I know how they were thinking. Or it can be a situation whereby you'll come home and they'll say to you, somebody I ran into who knows you saw you in the supermarket talking to a guy. and you'll say to them, well, you know, who was that who told you? Or, I can't tell you. They said, don't tell me anything. What guy? What supermarket? Oh, they said it was roughly about 2 weeks ago. And what ends up happening is that your head is going into this spin, trying to backtrack and work out and, hang on, did that happen? Was that person saying that thing? And this goes on constantly. So, and because I think the thing is, until you've ever understood gaslighting or narcissism, which is another topic that I write about prolifically on my website, but I think it's something that every woman should know about, is that I guess as adults we believe that other adults tell the truth and that they don't manipulate and that they don't lie. And especially if you're madly in love with somebody and connected to somebody that by definition you're connected to trust, you can't fathom that they're lying or manipulating, so you start distrusting yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
And before you know it, you've started off as, you know, the assuming that you're a confident person with your life together, and then before you know it, you're walking on broken glass, you're not sure what's real, what isn't real, who's with you, who isn't with you, and you're so right in that your self-esteem and your, the biggest thing is you stop trusting yourself. You don't know what is real and what isn't real. And then because you're so focused on your outer environment and specifically the abusive partner, you lose yourself and you become what's known as highly, highly codependent, which means that all of your safety and your resources, you're trying to map it out by looking at your environment instead of trusting what you feel and what you know on an inner level, which is your true navigator. And once you lose that, you are controlled.
Yes.
Absolutely. I know in many situations when you talk to a person who has been in that environment for a long, long time, they don't trust anyone. I mean, there may be some people on the outside that are really trying to help them. Their best friends are those individuals that they would run to, but they're afraid. What I've seen is they're afraid to even engage in those conversations because not only the perception of what people will think about them, but their trust has been broken down so much that they don't know what to do or who to turn to.
That is so correct. And I think what makes it very, very difficult, too, is people on the outside, and I experienced this, I have a lot of people that came back into my life, but at the time, because you do end up deranged, and you also end up being the type of person that's not making sense, and because you keep going back, people are really looking at you, and a lot of people are starting to think, you're the problem, you're not right,
yeah.
And I also know as a woman who used to observe other women in these situations before my event, I used to think, for goodness sake, you're whinging, you're moaning, you're complaining, but you keep turning around and going back.
Right.
And you lose and I freely admit, humbly, I have the utmost understanding now, but I used to lose respect for women like that. And now after understanding it and being in it, you know, I'm actually quite remorseful about that because I understand the extent and
right.
how much support people do need.
Yeah. I would like to know, because there are so many good people that, you know, they just get caught in bad situations and they mean well. And I know that they would love to have some type of sign or... Can you talk about some of the early warning signs, something that someone would never suspect as a warning sign, just some of the small things that are really something you should pay attention to where they might think, you know, well, that's no real big deal. And then also, I know some women seem to repeatedly become attracted to abusive type of people, whether they're
most
psychologically
definitely.
Or emotionally abusive or whatever. And what are some of the signs that they can maybe catch on to or latch on to so that they won't have to keep repeating those behaviors in those relationships?
Yes, and this is what's really important, and this is really the education that women do need.
Right.
Yeah, look, there's lots of signs, but really to go through a few, Very, most definitely a narcissistic male will generally come into a woman's life in a whirlwind way. So he's going to be needy. He's going to want a lot of her time. He's going to idealize the relationship. So in many aspects, it can feel like the most incredible, romantic, swept-off-her-feet incident that she could imagine initially. He will very much try to spend a lot of time with her. He will woo her, and that's generally the case. Not always, but generally. But if you look at the man, and this is what is very, very important, have a look at his family relationships. Quite often, an abusive man will come from very difficult family circumstances, not always, but often. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that that's necessarily a bad man, but this is a sign. Very much look at the relationship with the mother, because this is about misogyny. Okay, so if a man has respect for his mother, that's a great sign. If his father respects his mother, that is a fantastic sign. A guy like this will generally have very few long-term friends, and he will really have, in most cases, a disheveled past. So look into that. Look and see if he has long-term people that respect him, that know him. Also, a really quick warning sign that you can pick up on is talk to this guy about his attitude towards abuse to women. Is he respectful? Is he reverent? Look to see if he swears around women. Abusers generally will swear. Have a look to see if he takes care of himself. So if he's an addiction-prone person and he has very little resources to look after himself in a healthy way, he's not going to be able to look after you.
Yeah.
But also, too, you'll find that it won't be too far down the track that you'll see that he might have a real high level of sensitivity to any sort of criticism, even if it's constructive.
Wow.
Because a narcissist cannot handle anything that challenges their ego. So it's always somebody else's fault. There's an excuse for everything. Dark moods, defensiveness is something that really, really comes up. But the tricky stuff is these guys generally have this high level of charismatic energy. And because they're feeding from a false self, which is really a constructed image of who they are, they will be generous, they'll be a pleasure to be around in a lot of ways, they're lots of fun, they're very, very giving, but you need to understand that that really is to glean praise, and that's to feed the ego. But when they're empty and they're not actually getting that, if you need support or if you're broken or if there's something going down in your life, there are very, very few resources past the honeymoon stage to actually give to you and support you. And I actually call it being kicked when you're down, because an abusive male, if you have struggles in your life because the focus and the attention is off him, and they're the classic fair weather friend, if you're not there to feed him and you're down, he will actually kick you harder while you're down. It's very much lack of empathy and conscience starts becoming apparent.
Melody, one thing I'd like for you to possibly discuss also is, and I'll use a personal example for me. In my past, I was in a situation where a woman that I was involved with had a history of being in violent relationships, per se. Domestic violence was a part, verbal, whether it was verbal or physical, it was just violent relationships. I did not know her history, and so as we got into the relationship and the relationship matured, I realized that there was a behavior problem, and those things that she was used to started coming out in our relationship, and my behavior didn't resemble the things that she was used to at all. So she was striking out at me thinking, well, you must not care about me, you must not love me, you must not do any of those things because you don't do those same things that I'm used to having done to me. And and the scariest thing for me, and this was my wake-up call to get out of the relationship, was when one of her sisters said to me, well, Tony, what you need to do is you need to beat her behind, because that's what she's used to.
Yeah.
And that to me said, okay, get away, because this behavior is not acceptable in any way, and she's so damaged that she needs to wake up and get the help that she needs. And I tried to help her, but that wasn't the time for her. And she continued going through violent relationships for several years, but she's okay now, thank God. But talk about that a little bit, because there are women that have gone through that same process, and they look at men, they're so damaged that they look at the men to treat them the way that they're used to.
Right, yeah. How can they heal from that?
Well, the thing is, women really need to take responsibility. That, as I did and many of the people that I work with, the thing is, we've definitely had aspects and issues within ourselves to attract and sustain a relationship on that level. And no man is going to come along and heal you and fix you. And unfortunately, I really believe that most women want that. They want that guy to come along. But if you're not healed and in your power and work through what you've needed to do to break your codependency and your attraction to abuse, you're going to sabotage a great guy.
Well, then that definitely answers one of the questions I had as to why people don't pay attention to some of those red flags that they see, because I guess they themselves aren't healed and they're
definitely
looking for a man to validate them.
Yeah.
And as long as you're looking for validation outside of yourself with someone else, it's just never going to work. You're always going to ignore the signs.
Correct. And look, women are very, very susceptible to this, because I have a lot of theories, and you know, as an energy healer, I totally believe that within our DNA, within women, up to, you know, not that long ago, maybe 1,000 years or so, if a woman wasn't compliant and put up with her mate, she could have been thrown out of the hut and the cave and the staff to death. So women tend to glorify their partners and need him to complete her. And if she's insecure and incomplete, she's going to always attract a partner in, which is going to not fix that or fill that. It's going to show it up even more.
Mm-hmm. Now, Melanie, I'd like to shift just a little bit in the aspect of we're recognizing some of the things that are going on and how some folks have been treated. Now we probably need to take a look at some of the things that need to be done to get away, because one of the things I know just through my training and through my interviews and the shows that I've done, when a woman makes that decision to go ahead and leave, to make that decision to go ahead and change, that's when things get most dangerous when you're in a domestic violence situation.
Absolutely. excuse me, something in my throat. Yes, look, most definitely, on many levels. And the most obvious one is that if he is truly NPD, which is narcissistic personality disorder, vengeance will break out, because he will perceive the abandonment and may really lash out in a dangerous way. So that's one aspect of it, which, you know, and that's where it comes down to definitely things like police intervention orders, getting very, very serious about it, not telling him what you're going to do. That's where I went horribly wrong, because I actually threatened and told him and discussed things, fruitlessly hoping that he would change, and played straight into his hand and played straight into his vengeance. So it needs to be strategically organized, these sort of exits. Excuse me. But also, too, the biggest thing about it is the post-traumatic stress disorder situation that happens with women when they leave. Because the thing is, when they're in the abusive situation, they're hooked up in the fight and they're in survival.
Mm-hmm.
When they, yeah, and you're existing, you're surviving. When you step out of it, it's like every incident that you've never had time to process, because you've always been caught up in the one in the moment. When you walk out and you're clear and on your own with nothing more coming, they all hit you like a freight train. And most women, if they're going to suicide or really, really break or snap, it will happen when they get out, not when they're in there.
Yeah.
Because of the survival mode, It's a fight aspect, and in most cases, it's I'm going to survive and I'll do everything I have to survive. But then you face the reality of what you went through, and you start looking at yourself less, right?
Most definitely, and yes. And as I said, you may have incidences that were 10 years ago that you've never had time or the space to really feel. And you become so disassociative because you're so focused in survival and on him that you're not even feeling yourself. So I remember in my recovery months down the track, I had an experience where I was driving down the road and I could feel my backside on my car seat. And it was the first time I'd been able to do that for years.
Mm.
Because you literally are not even in your body. So when you start coming back into your body, the pain, the trauma of what you have been through and the violation, and it's literally like being raped on every level, is virtually completely overwhelming. And this is why so many women go back, because they mistake those feelings as, I'm missing him, I can't survive without him. And it actually isn't that. You're coming down off a whole cellular addiction, because there's such an addiction process that occurs in these relationships that is very little understood. But also, too, by definition, women see their partner, their male, regardless of who he is, as their rock, as their support, even if he's the one that's breaking them. So they want to run back.
Wow.
What I'd like to do real quick also is I'd like to give a national domestic violence hotline number. And this number can be called, and it's hooked up to all 50 states here in the United States. 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233 or 1-800-787-3224. That's 1-800-787-3224. If you call those numbers, if you're in a situation, they can connect you with local organizations that can help you in a domestic violence situation, and shelters and homes and places where you can get help. So make sure if you just take the number down, and if it's not in your, if you're not in that situation, and you may know someone. So please pass that information on, because that's what this show is all about. It's about getting the information out there and helping as many people as we can, because your quality of life needs to improve if you're in that situation, and you could live a much greater and better life away from a domestic violence situation or an emotionally violent situation or any kind of situation where you're being controlled.
And Melanie, I would just like to ask you, because this question has been burning in my mind. We know this is a very, very prevalent topic, and there are so many people that are being affected by this in one way or the other, whether it's verbal, emotional, psychological, or controlling mistreatment of elderly family members. I've heard that even classifies as some level of abuse. Because it is so major all over the world, you're in Australia, and it's major everywhere. Why isn't this taught in our schools? Why don't we have some type of training or class in our schools where we can understand this horrible epidemic and understand what to look for and how not to get involved in these situations and protect ourselves? Why is it not taught in our schools?
Kathy, I am flabbergasted for exactly the same reasons, because everything starts in the home, and everything starts with relationships, and everything starts with a relationship to self. And it's only the last few years, really possibly the last decade, that emotional intelligence has even been understood. But what is phenomenal is we're not taught even how to have a healthy emotional relationship with ourselves, let alone with
That's
another
right.
human being.
And that brings up another question. I mean, I understand that school is for learning reading, writing, and arithmetic and whatever your major may be if you go to college, but it's also a place where we need to learn about ourselves and how to
yes.
conduct ourselves as human beings when we grow
yes.
up and productive adults. And
yes.
that just amazes me why we don't focus on some of those topics in school.
Yes, me too. And life
yeah, someone
skills.
In the chat room called it life skills education. That's
absolutely
what I mean, yes.
Most definitely. And if we look at our society and the way it's breaking down and the way males and females are so struggling to understand each other and to be educated as to how to commune healthily. And then, of course, we have this spawning of the children that are coming out of these environments that end up being either the abused or the abuser. And we've got teenagers binge drinking, taking drugs, so empty and broken emotionally within themselves that they're going for that codependent, addictive hit outside of themselves because they're not in healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the teenagers and the young people. What's really scary to me is we're seeing a dramatic increase in the amount of violent relationships.
Yes.
In the teen years, we're yes. seeing young ladies that, and I forget what the statistic was, but it's pretty high. The percentage is pretty high of young women who have been in emotional and domestic violence situations, and they're
yes,
not
yes,
even
yes.
21 years old.
Yes, and that is frightening. And I really don't understand, and I just really hope that this comes about, that every woman, every young lady before dating learns what is and isn't applicable, what she does deserve, and the way she deserves to be treated.
And you touched on something earlier, Melanie, and you did too, Tony, that is very, very, very important, and that's the importance of self-love. I mean, obviously there's some self-esteem issues and some problems that we don't love ourselves enough to feel like we deserve better. Even when we see the early warning signs, even when we know that they're there, if you look hard enough, take the time to get to know the person. We jump
yes.
into situations so fast because
yes.
we're anxious and we're just really excited about wanting to have someone in our lives to validate us. That if we could have a relationship with ourselves, fall in love with yourself, have a spiritual relationship with God, do those things first before you can be in a healthy relationship with another individual.
You've put it perfectly, and I think it's that scarcity mentality that when we're feeding off our own fears and doubts, we think, well, you know, look, this guy's come along and I'm feeling this massive attraction and he's so awesome in so many ways, but, okay, there's things that are starting to go wrong here, but what if that doesn't come along again? What if he's the only one? What if he's the one that's meant to be? And we don't realize that, you know, universally and spiritually is that all things exist in all space in multiple possibilities. It's quantum physics. So by getting yourself right, it's unlimited as to what you can draw in and attract into your life.
And, you know, someone made a great comment in the chat room. She said that you can be with someone for years and they can keep themselves hidden until you marry them. And then all of a sudden, all these demons come out of the closet. Can you speak to that?
Look, I would definitely agree that that is a big part of it. Having said that, I will totally stand by it. There are warning signs before that. And
okay.
it's knowing those warning signs.
Right.
And men can be a little bit sort of transparent and honest, and it's called the narcissistic calling card. They will definitely come out with some comments which you'll think, hang on, did I just hear that? So, for example, before I fully committed to my relationship with the narcissist I was with, one comment he said one night was, you're different to all the other women. It's different how I feel about you. I used to grind them all into the dirt.
Mm.
And I thought he was joking.
That's amazing.
And what ends up happening is you end up taking it as a compliment.
When it's actually a warning sign.
Right.
Exactly, Tony. You've hit the nail right on the head.
Yep. I would even caution women that have been in similar situations they need to be even more aware. If you've been in a similar situation, buy books or find resources. There are so many resources. And that reminds me, I want to ask people, you know, after the show is over, please feel free to visit my website or Melanie. Go to my website because my website has a link to Melanie's website at www.chollowayhill.com. There's a link to Melanie's website because there are so many resources. And Tony even gave some numbers earlier, and we'll give those out again here shortly. But there are so many resources. If you've been in a previous abusive relationship, make sure that you arm yourself with as much knowledge as you possibly can, the early warning signs, a safety plan, just understand everything that's involved that will prevent you from getting there again.
Yes, and Kathy, that's a lot of what I've got on my website and I've written about in my book, because that is imperative. And the interesting thing is I'm actually walking this journey myself at the moment. I've just committed to an exclusive relationship and been through the dating process and done it by the book, and the results have been fantastic and completely changed. The cycle of how I used to approach relationships and the type of men that I used to attract into my space has completely changed. And
right.
it's just a pleasure and a joy to receive the reverence and the respect and the safety and the time that it's taking to build this relationship on a foundational level.
Right. Now, Melanie, I have quite a few callers lined up in queue, and I'm thinking they may all be just calling in to listen because I did have a few sound problems earlier, but I am just going to check just to be sure with a few of these callers to ensure they don't have a comment or a question for you. Area code 210, you're on the line. Okay.
They may be just listening in.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, let's try area code 631. 631, do you have a question or a comment? Area code?
Listen, man.
You're just listening?
Just listening,
yes.
No problem. All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'll just try one more just to be sure. Oh, okay. Caller, do you have a comment?
Sounds like someone's just listening also.
Okay, all right.
That's Melanie, let me ask you this, Melanie. When it comes to the other side, the realization after you get to that point and you're away from that, speak a little bit about the joy. I think the realization and where you've come from and how it feels on the other side, because it's real important for those individuals to see and understand, you know, I've got a chance now, once I get out of this, what it looks like. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Tony, it is phenomenal. And the recognition that I needed, and that might sound like a really blunt, harsh statement, but I totally own that. I needed this experience to totally empower and heal myself. And there was many areas of my life before this happened where I didn't speak up, where I wasn't honoring myself, where I didn't have a good boundary function. And this really cleaned all of that out for me. And the self-deservedness and esteem and self-love I have now has very powerful limits. So, for example, I will not tolerate manipulation. I will not tolerate lies. If something doesn't feel right to my body now, I'll confront it very, very calmly, very clearly. And I also learned how to receive support, because a lot of women that are compliant codependents that are attracted to abusers find it very, very difficult to receive. So after having a complete breakdown, I was very reliant on allowing people to come into my life and give and support and love me. So now I'm incredibly comfortable with receiving and knowing that I deserve to receive and be spoiled and to connect to people on a true, true, intimate heart level, whereby before I didn't have relationships at that level.
And Melanie, for you, what was the absolute last resort? What was just your breaking point that got you to say, okay, enough, and I am going to fix this?
Well, it took me, Kathy, 18 months after getting out of the relationship to get off the addictive hook, and that was absolutely horrific. The breaking point for me really came because I was doing so much work on myself I stress time and time again, women don't just need contemporary channels, they need deeper soul empowerment on this, because it is off the charts. It is one of the most difficult situations any woman could ever go through. So they need inner resource work. I was doing a lot of that, and I guess the real breaking point for me was literally hitting a point where I was so suicidal minute to minute and just holding myself together that I came to a point where, okay, am I going to go back and die slowly, or am I going to drive to a motel room and take a handful of pills right now? And I hit that point where, and I'd known, I guess, for at least 12 months that I had to get out, that there was no possibility of him ever changing or of this ever having a happy ending. But even with knowing that, and many women do, they know that there is no hope, but they still can't get off the hook. So you've got to do the work. You've got to do the inner resource work. Otherwise, you're either not going to get off the hook, or eventually the relationship will disintegrate, but you may be 10, 20, 30 years, the rest of your life, agoraphobic, broken, cynical, and at a high risk of attracting similarly abusive partnerships, if you have any at all.
Right.
Now, Melanie, I'm going to say this, because you said something in your description there, but I've got to say this, and this comes from the research, the training, and just the conversations. Ladies, you cannot change him unless he wants to be changed.
Ooh,
and
wait,
it's
wait,
not
baby.
You changing him, it's him changing and wanting to change himself. So if you think you're in the relationship and you think that there's something you can and or will do that will make him do it differently, you can't do it.
Correct.
It's not going to be you.
Thank you for that, Tony. And if you don't mind, expand on it just a little bit, because I know there are some ladies that are thinking, well, you know, I'm irresistible, or I'm beautiful, or I'm this, or I'm different.
Yes, and I totally relate. I really, really relate. No, you can't change him. And the only time that I've ever seen an abuser change is when a woman fully steps into her deservedness, fully lays boundaries, and fully means business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much like an alcoholic. If a woman decides that is it, with absolutely no ifs, buts, and maybes, and there have been many, many alcoholics that have become sober because she meant it and she followed through with it. But if you're, by definition, staying in the environment with an abuser, whether they're alcoholic, narcissistic, or whatever, you are saying to them, this is okay. This is what I deserve, and they know that they can still keep doing it.
That's a great point, because I know one of the challenges in every situation, when you're looking at yourself, and particularly when your self-esteem is really broken, you start saying, well, you know, he really, really wants to change. He really wants to be different. And if I leave, and if I get away from this, even though I'm so unhappy, he's not going to be able to make it, and I don't want to do that to him. You've got to do it for yourself and forget the situation and get away from the situation, because I have an opportunity many times to go in and speak to women that are in prison, and some of those women that are there were in domestic situations, and this goes out to any abuser in any situation. Some of those women that I spoke to and have spoken to said that they just couldn't take it anymore, and they just decided that was it. Now, you never make it. I always say, flee, get away as quickly as you can, stay away as best as you can, and save your own life. But save your life in whatever way you can. Those women had no choice. In many instances, they told many stories about it was the last straw, they just couldn't take it anymore, they were boxed in, they were in a very violent situation, and they had to make the choice. They're locked up, some of them got life, but when you hear their story, it's very typical of what we're talking about now, and we're trying to keep anyone from going through and getting to a situation like that, and that's what this show is all about.
And I just want to interject here, because we're coming up on our last 5 minutes of the show, and unfortunately I really wish I could extend the show, guys, but we're on a tight schedule. Our guest is calling all the way from Australia, and I'm so excited about that. But a couple of things I want to do before we do end. Tony, I want you to give the 800 number again. If you could just put that in the chat room, that would be excellent for people here in the United States that need assistance, because our guest is from Australia. And also, Melanie, I would like for you to just talk a little bit about a well-put-together safety plan for the ladies and the women, and men are abused too, so it's not just ladies that are the victims. Men are victims too, so anyone that's listening that feels like they're a victim, what is a good safety plan? How can they safely put together something that will allow them to get out of the situation without being harmed or bringing harm to their children or themselves?
Most definitely through the channels of the domestic violence channels, of organizing your life so that you can have intervention orders, you can have protection, moving in with people that you trust if you need to, definitely getting very, very serious about exiting without him knowing, maybe staying somewhere where he's not going to know where you are is very, very sensible. Absolutely no contact. And this is where most women fall down. Do not take contact, do not have contact, and as soon as you can, get into the research, the self-healing. There are many, many healing modalities which I totally endorse from experience and work with women, and you need as soon as possible to get onto your self-empowerment so that you can survive and recover and reclaim your glory, literally, from the experience, from post-traumatic stress disorder, and empower yourself. So group support is incredibly important, to know that you're one of many, that you're not an isolated incident. And, you know, here in Australia, it's quite limited as to far as those sort of support networks, but sort it out, get into a domestic violence support group and go to those support groups and be around people that understand, that are supportive, that are empowering themselves.
Right, because I just want to make sure all of our listeners understand, because so many people that I have come in contact with feel like that they are trapped and they've been threatened if they do leave, that these things are going to happen, and that's not true. There are ways to protect yourself. There are ways to safely get out of the situation. So if you need more information, please, like I said, visit my website, email me, and I can get you in touch with Melanie or other resources here in the United States that will help you safely get out of the situation, because there are options. You always have options. You are not stuck.
And a lot of it, Kathy, not always. Obviously, we do have, you know, there are incidences of homicide with this. But in a lot of incidences, it is bullying and manipulation. And often when authorities are brought in, a lot of these men will shut down and back off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, Tony, we're coming up on our last couple of minutes, so I'd like for you to just go ahead, because I know you've had a lot of training on this. So if you could just give a few closing comments, that would be great.
Well, I think the most important thing is just to remember that you're more important than the situation that you're in, and just realize how important you are, and just make sure that your life is important to you. Don't allow anybody to tear you down or break you down. And if you've been in that place from this moment forward, think and take the steps to get yourself out of that situation. Once again, the number is 1-800-799-7233 or 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-787-3224, 1-800-787-3224. Those numbers will get you to any of the domestic violence agencies in one of the 50 states, wherever you're listening to us from. But what's most important is that you get the support. There are organizations and agencies that can help you. And, of course, Melanie's books.
So I am going to thank you guys so much for joining us. You guys in the chat room, you all are wonderful. Thank you, callers, and everyone listening to the downloads. Melanie, you are wonderful for coming to us all the way from Australia. Thank you ever so kindly. And we are going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Melanie. And we will see all of our listeners and hear all of our listeners same time next week. Good night, everyone.